the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Hello and welcome to the Parramatta's podcast. I am Birdie and with me again is Jono, sexiest man. You're not going to live down that moniker ever. 2008, sexiest man. Welcome, Jono. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. I'm glad you boys have revived that title.
Yeah,
and,
mate.
Made it stick like glue, so.
Yeah, we couldn't let that
everyone
one.
Everyone else can start. No. Everyone else is like cottoning onto it. So
it's good. It's good. What was it? The sexiest man of was it Emerald or was it was it Charters Towers? I think you covered the whole demographic, then the whole range up there.
Yeah, it was everyone along the Central Queensland the line there. So
yeah,
it was good.
Even up
it was
up
a good tirade that lasted about 4 weeks or whatever it was, but it was a good four weeks.
Well, it's your sister who ended it. She was the one who called in and put a stop to it. So because people started looking for the mailman, because we were saying you were working at the mail center. They thought you were the mailman, so they were like saying, "No, the mailman's not all that good looking," and you weren't doing the route. They're probably some big ugly dude, and all the women were out going, "What the hell's going on here?" Yeah. So if you don't know, we did have a radio show up in Queensland, and we ran a poll to find out who the sexiest man in Queensland was, and Jono ended up being the sexiest man. And you were up against Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio, and you ended up.
I had some stiff competition, but
you did, mate.
God bless the Hot FM phone callers. They had my back.
Yeah, they had my back.
It was great.
They weren't going to let that one go. And sight unseen too. We didn't have any pictures of you, but
thanks to the people, mate.
Yeah. Baz is sitting out this week. We seem to be doing musical chairs, but that's all good. That's the way we've set it up, so that as long as we get the show up and going, because there's a lot of stuff happening, as there always is with Parramatta. Being a Parramatta fan, it's a life mission. I was going to say it's a life choice, but that's a bit dramatic.
It's a week-on-week, adventure. Is it going to be a good week? Is it going to be a bad week?
Man, bring on
to find out.
Bring on the off season, man. I need a break. No, it's all good. So we played the Warriors, obviously, this week. What do you think of the game?
Well, I thought we were good. I'm not going to say great. I'm going to say we were good.
Great in patches, as always.
Yeah, well, we were really patient to start the game. We generated field position and good attacking territory. It took us a while to get our first try, but once Wonga plunged over that first try, we were pretty consistent in our attacking raids. And yeah, once we broke the Warriors once and twice, they didn't really offer that much resistance until the end. And, Mike Acevo had a great game. Wonga Blake got himself a double. Iceman. Gutho popped up for one. Mitch Moses' kicking game was on point. So it was a pleasing performance until about the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, the floodgates opened a bit. A couple of late tries to the Warriors in the last few. It's disappointing, but it does seem to be happening across the board. It's not just our team that's you wouldn't want to be a Manly fan at the moment. They just keep opening the floodgates in the last 5-10 minutes. But it was funny. I thought Wonga's first try, he literally caught the ball and just fell over the line. And then his second try, he had to run the length of the field. Well, he had to run 50 metres just to catch up to Sivo. And then Sivo wanted nothing to do with that length of the field try, did he? He was looking around for bloody Wonga like after he was had taken off for 20 metres.
He was, but then his second try, or see, his only try, I think, off the kickoff.
Yeah.
He was off the kick return. He was fine to do that one, but yeah. The first one, he's 20.
Yeah, he took off. He took off on his try.
Yeah.
But the try that he did score, like you said, I think Gutho got it and he spun it. And as soon as he spun it to the center of the field, I said to Nick, I said, you never do that. You never, when you got Sivo and all, you know, out there, and it's just kind of like he does this big pass out to the middle of the field. I'm like, oh, he's going to drop it. They're going to score a try. But Dilbags caught it and took it wide, and it was a beautiful try. And he ended up.
It was.
He set up Sivo perfectly, and Sivo took off. Like, he ran twice as fast as he did on his intercept. He wanted nothing to do with that intercept length of the field. He did not. He had a full game in front of him, and he's like, I am not getting any bloody lactic acid into these thunder thighs.
You remember the photo of that calf cramp he got? And
oh, yeah.
Calf that was looks vicious. Like a football-sized calves on him.
Oh, no.
He's probably insane. Thinking, it's like, I remember my calves after the last time I tried this.
Yeah.
Where's Wonga?
It actually reminded me of me at work when the phone rings and I'm looking over my shoulder to see if someone else is going to answer it because I don't want to answer the phone. I'm like, it just reminded me so much of Sivo. He's like looking over his shoulder. He's like, who's answering the phone? Because I want nothing to do with this length of the field try. I've done my work, but that was a great try, I thought. And Sean Lane, good again. He's playing really well. Bailey Simonson, where's your head at with him?
He's still there. Remember, he got that pretty awesome flick pass back in. He was about to get dragged into touch.
It was brilliant.
He got that flick pass back in for Gutho to score, you know?
Yeah.
I've been super impressed with him. He's been consistent, yeah.
Same. And the weird thing is he's copping a bit of stick on the Facebook groups and everything. Like, he's not getting much love, but he's one of those players that he gives 100% every week. He goes out there and he does a few brilliant things. The rest of the stuff is pretty rock steady. And it's just every now and again if he drops a bomb, but he catches nine out of 10, you know. It's 10 out of 10 most of the time. I thought he had a brilliant game in that flick pass for Gutho to score. It was a great put down by him after he was chucking up his guts like 10 minutes before. He got absolutely smashed. It's weird watching it. It's really hard to dissect because – you know, if Warriors didn't score the two consolation tries at the end, it's a bit of a flogging. And it felt like a bit of a flogging. The Warriors came to play the first, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. They played pretty well. And then we just got the better of them. I was happy with the performance. But once again, you walk away going, oh, they scored those two easy tries. But we've got to look on the bright side. And the boys won two in a row. So that's definitely a positive. And we've got the Broncos up tomorrow night. Well, if you're listening to this, I'm not sure when it's going to get edited. It might be last night. If it's on Friday, if the podcast's going up Friday morning, it's currently Wednesday night. I think Baz is going to edit it tomorrow. So hopefully when you're listening to this, we've had a nice win against the Broncos. And I suppose we can talk about what we think about the game's going to happen. It's a bit risky because people listening to this would have just watched it and just be fresh. I'm a little bit concerned about Adam Reynolds. He does have the tendency to tear us up. And when he was at the Bunnies, he was very good at leading a team to defeat us. He's leading the Broncos around nicely. I'm a bit worried about his ability to beat us. So hopefully we had a good win last night and hopefully Adam Reynolds didn't tear us up.
Well, I was saying at work today, this is the first time in 3 years we are playing the Broncos, and I'm nervous about it.
Yeah.
Because there was that awesome run we had where we played the Broncos like three times in a row, and I think the aggregate score was like 109-4 or some shit.
It was even more than that, I think. It was insane. Like, yeah. But you're dead right.
It was crazy.
And they're going to want to tear us up. Like, they're going to have motivation to do so, and they've got the firepower to do it. We spoke a bit before the podcast and I was asking if Cobbo was playing, and he's still dead apparently from after Origin, so hopefully he'll come back to life soon because I do like watching him play. But probably a good thing he's sitting out against us.
Yeah, well, he's still another week away. He should be right to go next week. But Reynolds is there. Payne Haas is back from his shoulder injury.
Yeah, right.
Corey Pays,
whatever. I thought you were going to say Corey Parker. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, Corey Parker's suiting up out of the Fox League commentary box.
Yeah, the Silver Fox League. Yeah.
No, so the Broncos are as full strength as they can be, and I think this is going to be an extremely tight game. And I'm nervous, man. I'm real nervous. I think Adam Reynolds is one of those players, much like Mitchie Moses is, that when the game's on the line, can produce something out of nothing.
Yeah.
And the Broncos, they owe us one, honestly. Yeah, I mean,
We are due for a loss against them.
They owe us one. Yeah. So I'm very nervous for what may come tomorrow night, but we will see.
Well, since it happened last night, I'm confident to say what a fantastic victory we had. And there was a couple of tries there. Well, Sean Lane scored two. And who else will we give one to? We'll give one to Bailey.
40-20 was outstanding.
And I reckon
Casivo running over the top of Adam Reynolds is a thing of beauty.
That was brutal. Oh, poor Reynolds. He was a bloody mess after that. We'll see how we go with our Nostradamus predictions. Bit of a sour note was Mitch Moses with his death threats. I didn't hear anything about that pre-game. It was only afterwards when he had to get escorted off the field by security, and they're going his family, which is pretty fucked up, to be honest. Like, they're threatening his family because of him. I don't even know why. Like, what's he done? He didn't lose his grand final. He didn't lose his orange. And why are they all of a sudden arcing up? What's going on? I haven't heard that much about it other than security guards needed to escort him off the field.
Yeah, well, he was escorted into the stadium and out of the stadium by like a back door, a security door.
What the hell's going on? That's weird.
Apparently, a couple of teenagers are behind it. Police actually managed to find out that there were a couple of teenagers that were, causing the death threat. And you can say maybe overreaction, but at the same time, the one moment you don't overreact to a death threat or a bomb threat or whatever sort of security threat on a quasi celebrity, and something does go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, your egg's on your face regardless. You know, it's a
big time.
So, and it's fucked. It's like, and you're right. Yeah. What's Mitch Moses done? Like, what's he
done? I don't know. I don't know what the catalyst was for the aggression.
Exactly. He didn't play Origin.
No, but you see it overseas with the English Premier League and, well, maybe the European, like those soccer players, the Cubans, you know, they get threatened and killed, you know. So, you know, you go from that level to over here, and it's generally just, you think it's just people going, oh, you're a dickhead, I'm going to kill you. But this seemed to be something different that put a bit of fear into Mitch's head. So that being said, he had a fantastic game considering he had that to contend with as well. So,
Brad Arthur was, I watched his coach's run interview today, and he's like, you know, such is the professionalism of Mitch that he actually kept it to himself. No one knew, the players around him didn't know about it either until it broke in the media. Yeah, and Gutho was actually coming off, and Gutho's like, well, the first I knew about it was, how come you've got 8 police people around you? Like, what's going on? Do you want to, why are you going out that way and we're going out this way?
Like, he was going to jail or something. He'd been caught.
Were you matchmaking again?
Yeah, exactly. He's done for.
The Parramatta's podcast, because fuck Melbourne.
Speaking of BA, what a weird story that's come out in the newspaper this week about apparently his manager's been shopping him around, and it's come out that it was suspected it was the Dragons or the Bulldogs, and it's come out that it was the Bulldogs that he was offered to. Where's your head at with that?
Well, he didn't know a thing about it.
No, it's what a weird thing.
Well, he's coaching a team that's currently in the top 8, you know. I don't think he's... You know, okay, we've ragged on him a lot this year about his coaching ability, but I don't think his job's under any immediate pressure, at least until the season ends.
And I don't, until
2024.
I don't wish the Bulldogs upon him. Like, I like the guy. Like, I don't want him to, I want him to be there to lead us to a grand final win. I just question his bench rotation. It does my head in why he would have Tom Opacek on the bench for a full game. And who else did he have on for a full game and then he axed? Was it Tom? Or I can't remember. I think it was Tom.
Yeah, it was Tommy. Yeah, Tommy Opacek, he had him on and then he axed him.
And he didn't play him.
Bryce Cartwright, you know. He did the same thing to Brycey Cartwright, my boy.
Yeah. Bryce has just disappeared. Like, Bryce came out, did the flick of the gods for a magic try, and then he's just been, you know, relegated to Reggie. So it's kind of like, I don't know what's happened with Bryce. I mean, but Tom as well, and now Jake's back. Now, at least he played Jake. This was my biggest criticism when Jake was in the team and he just had him on the bench and he didn't play him. It was like, what's the point of having him on the bench? But then he did it to a couple of other players. And the other criticism, of course, was you bring Jake in and then you push Brown into the centers. That annoyed the fuck out of me. I got nothing against Jake Arthur. I think he's a future talent and I like having him in the team. But it seemed to me that he very much might be pushing him to be our hooker next year. I'm kind of curious because he came in the last 20 minutes and he hooked the whole end of the game and he did a pretty good job to, you know, credit.
You noticed that too.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Those passes were crisp. I reckon the thing about the Arthur family, from what I understand, is they're extremely professional. They do all their exercises. They do all everything they're supposed to be doing. And I reckon that Jake has just gone away and gone, you know what, maybe I'm not a halfback. Maybe I'm going to get a run at fullback. At hooker. He's gone off and practiced because those passes were crisp and they got us on the front foot. And his tackling was fine as well. Like he's a weird shaped kid. Here I am ragging on him again, but he seems to have a small head and big shoulders and long skinny legs. Like, so I think once he grows into his body, his fitness is going to be off the chart. Apparently, you know, from what they say, he's up there with Gutho on a fitness level, which is an insane fitness level. Credit where it's due. If he's going to use him like that and bring him in to get us some go forward at the end of a game, because Reed has been struggling the year. I mean, with the shoulder injury and everything. So, no problem with Jake being into if he uses him. I just hate it when he picks someone and sits them on the bench and doesn't use them. It annoys the hell out of me because the other players get tired. So what were your thoughts of Jake Arthur's performance?
Yeah, absolutely. If he's going to utilize him as a hooker, I'm not against that at all.
Me either.
I liked how he looked coming out of dummy half.
Yeah.
You know, a hooker, you know, that's played halfback. So he was a hooker with a kicking game.
Yes.
You know, and he's only going to get bigger size-wise. He could be a lock size almost and playing number nine.
Yeah.
You know, if that's Brad's future plan with Jake, don't put him in the halves, but put him in as a number nine.
Yeah.
And for the small sample size we got of him against the Warriors, he looked good. And I'm not against it at all.
No, bring it on. Yeah, bring it on. Because I tell you what, very professional, Jake Arthur. And you get him to the off season, and if you tell him to put on 6 kilo of muscle, he'll come back with 8 kilo of muscle. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to go and work his ass off. You know that from all the stories we hear about him. So if he can bulk up a bit, he doesn't have to be huge. Look at bloody Cameron Smith, you know, greatest hooker of all time. It's hard to say that, but it is true. And it is the truth. And he was built like an accountant.
Yeah.
But he was made of rubber. He never got bloody injured. Mm-hmm. So, those passes were crisp. It got Mitch onto the front foot. It got us straight to the forwards, though. Like the crash tackles that we did, I thought that his passes were straight into the forwards' bellies. So they were able to hit him right on the line. Impressive. So I'm happy with that. Just don't push Dillbags into the centres, and you've got us on board. If you're just going to play him like that, let's go, and we'll see what happens. Just keep him. He's in the team again this week, which is good. But
Yeah, but I'm nervous. I'm nervous against a team like the Broncos in a game that's going to be tight.
Yeah,
bringing Jake on in that hooking role.
Well, he won't.
When I would prefer Reed Marnie.
Yes.
But if he doesn't,
no, he won't.
Then we've got the whole three-man bench rotation again.
That annoys the hell out of me.
Number one.
It is, because I'd rather have a bloody forward on there. I'd rather have Wurimu Greg sitting on the bench, coming on, doing 15 minutes of destruction than have Jake Arthur sit on the bench for a full game and not get to play in reserve. So I'm curious to know how it's going to, like, this is my only criticism of BA at the moment. And the other thing that I like that they've done is they've gone away to the Central Coast this week for 5 days on a mental health retreat, which I think is brilliant because they're all fit as fuck. They can, you know, they're good to go. They've all got the ability. If you can get them playing as one team like the Cowboys, I keep bringing them back as an example because they're not a team of champions. They're a champion team. You pick that team apart. You've basically got Valentine Holmes, who's the only champion player out of that team. You know, you got some youngsters coming through and you got Chad, who I think is good, but you know what I mean? Like they're a champion team. If you can get our boys to click like that with the firepower we've got, exciting. And I heard Cooper Cronk say also, says Parramatta plays much better when they're like off the cuff football. And I just don't think we are that team to play structured football. I'm just wondering if
we never have been.
No, we really haven't. And Mitch plays best when he's off the cuff, just looking to see reactive football. And he doesn't play structured well at all. Dillbags doesn't like to play structured, and Gutho certainly doesn't. So it's so hard though to say to a team, just go and play off the cuff football and play what you see, because you know shit can go wrong really quickly if you're doing that.
Yeah, well, if we tell them to play off the cuff football and all of a sudden they're trying to go around teams instead of through them, That's when we start losing games.
Yes.
I'm all for second phase play.
Yeah.
And we've got the most offloads in the NRL by some margin.
Yeah.
So we've got players that can produce second phase play.
Yeah.
But you gotta be careful with it. As much as the firepower we have with it, It's a poison chalice, because if you start trying to go around teams, especially a team like the Broncos with their forward pack, and we're not matching it with them, That's danger signs. But
what do you do though? I mean, I honestly don't know what to do, because like, do you say, if you're a coach, would you say, all right, for 3 weeks, we're just going to play off the cuff and see what happens? But then, you know, you could risk a form slump from hell coming if you get flogged 3 weeks in a row, and then it's hard to get the players back into their disciplined play. Do you keep trying to push?
We can't afford it.
No.
I mean, we can't afford it this time of year. We've got the hardest run home out of any team in the comp now. We've got the Broncos twice, the Panthers again, and the Storm again. Yeah. I think the Storm's last game of the season.
The Storm are gone. I'm not worried about the Storm anymore.
Okay.
Pappenhausen's gone for the season, isn't he? Isn't Pappenhausen gone for the season? Yeah.
Yes.
I did see a funny meme with the, they said, you know, since when has a cap worried the Melbourne Storm? So he's broken his kneecap apparently. And so.
Poor guy.
Oh, it is shit. Like, he does seem to be a bit injury prone, so they'd be annoyed that they let Nicho Hynes go around about now, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
Because Munster's running hot. If you could have Pappenhausen running hot, then, you know, you could almost get them home just those two. Apart from the Panthers, I can't see any team. If I had to bet money on a team to win the grand final, my money would be going on the Cowboys at the moment. They just seem to be playing as a unit. They seem to be playing. They're all backing each other up. And I saw, Todd Payton. I saw him mic'd up, and he seems like a real switched on dude. He seems like a real switched on coach. If you get a chance to see that, check that out. The way he was running his drills, the way he was talking to his players, they're a serious threat this year, I think. And they're flying under the radar, even though they're coming second at the moment. They're very much flying under the radar.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think, I don't know about the Roosters. I don't know if they're going to come good. I don't know if the Bunnies are going to come good with Latrell. It's going to be a fascinating end of the year. I'm really looking forward to it. I hope that our boys, you know, are in the mix. But
yeah, well, the next 6 weeks are going to tell a lot about this team.
Yeah.
Because you're right. The Panthers and the Cowboys are the only ones really, and the Broncos maybe on their day, but the Broncos aren't as good as the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I want Parramatta, and Parramatta absolutely have every chance to be in that conversation.
Really do.
The next six weeks are going to sort the men from the boys.
Yeah.
And we have got an iron sharpens iron sort of draw going towards the end here. So
I hope,
you know, the silver lining of having the hardest draw in the NRL from this point is that we're going to be battle hardened by the time we get there.
We could lose all these games and end up winning the grand final. Like, it's one of those ones, like you said, it might be the best thing for us, because we certainly didn't do well when BA gave the team 5 days off after a bye, you know, and it was not a good idea. So I'm glad that, you know, he learnt that lesson in the middle of the year too. We're actually better off, I think, not getting in the top four and having to play every game leading into the grand final. I actually think we're better off that way, doing sudden death from the first game.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to see any rest. So I want to see just back to back play sudden death football for 8 weeks, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay. It's tiring, but you will, as a team, grow used to not making mistakes, sticking to your system.
Yeah.
You know, play like every game is a finals game and adapt to those situations.
Yeah. I'm secretly excited about this, you know, so it's kind of, you know, we're in the mix again. We're in the mix again, and that's all you really want at this time of the year. You want your team to be in the conversation, and we're definitely in the conversation.
Exactly, and the only team that we're not playing in the final 6 weeks that's going to be in that conversation are the Cowboys. We played them once. We only get to play them once. But like I said, we've got the Broncos twice, full-strength Broncos.
Yeah,
we've got the Panthers. We've got Melbourne. Yeah, they're fading, but they're still a Bellamy coach side.
Yeah.
And I think we've got the Rabbitohs again as well. And then the Bulldogs revenge game in the middle of that. So
I'm really looking forward to that one. I honestly think we're gonna put a hurting on the Bulldogs in that game. It's going to be brilliant. And BA will be looking at it going, okay, I don't want to go and coach there. And Reed will be thinking, you know, I don't want to go and play there. But that's all done. I don't know what's going on with the Iceman. There was rumors coming out that he was getting out of his contract with the Tigers, but I think he's gone.
He's going.
Yeah, we can't. We haven't really signed. We're losing some serious weapons, and we really haven't signed anyone of note.
We really haven't.
Mm. So anyway,
and adding to the fact that the Dolphins are now a thing, and they're just taking all the washed up talent and trying to build a team out of that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting the next couple of months for this team in terms of signings, in terms of finals performance, in terms of Brad Arthur's contract. By the way, Cameron Serraldo's, I think, all but secured as the Bulldogs coach next year. So it won't be BA. Apparently the news out just before was Serraldo's $1.10 on the sports betting agencies to be the Canterbury coach. So that's massive for Canterbury.
I'd like to get him. I think he's going to be a good coach. The thing is, as I was saying before, we're going to go through a rebuilding phase, and I think we need a new coach if we're going to go through a rebuilding phase. We're losing so many players. If we don't win it this year, BA's had his 10 years at it, and he's done a great job apart from the one wooden spoon year, which we can blame Jared Hayne for.
Yes, we can, absolutely.
It's like poison, I think, to that to the team. He kind of killed off the Titans, and then he came back and killed us off.
Titans were a top four team, and then Titans missed the finals, and then we were a top four team, and then we were spooners.
That's all on
Mr. Hayne.
I think there's some shit going on behind the scenes with him being in the team, but maybe with some of the youngsters. I don't know. I'm speculating big time here, but it just seemed to me that something was off with that year that he was in the team. He came back. So, but apart from that, BA's done a great job. But like I said, you just can't, if he's going to rebuild the team, he's going to rebuild the team as it is for him. And then at the end of 24, they'll probably get rid of him. And then he's spent 2 years rebuilding a team. You know, you might as well get rid of him at the end of this year if we don't win. If we win, he deserves whatever he wants, to be honest. Like he can sign for another bloody 10 years, as far as I'm concerned, if he can get us this elusive premiership. In all honesty,
give us a premiership and we'll give you the key to the city, mate. You'll be fine.
Mate, I'm quite happy watching our team win the majority of the games. If we win more than we lose in a year, it's a good year watching. But at the moment, it's starting to build the fact that we haven't won since 86, and it's starting to become a joke, and it's starting to become a thing. We just need to bloody tick that one off, and then we can go back to normal.
Yeah, and the meme I shared in the group chat yesterday that it's been, we are the longest, 2009, we are the longest team in the NRL now that hasn't made a preliminary final.
Yeah, and that caught me off guard.
The last time.
I didn't realize that. So it's becoming a joke. We need to tick that box, and then we can go back to rebuild the team. And you and I have been there before supporting the team that is not as good as other teams. And you still watch all the games. And if you lose, we'd always say, oh, they tried their best or they came close. And that's all you ask for. You still enjoy the game. But, you know, when you've got a superpower team like we have at the moment and they lose against a team like the Bulldogs, you just scratch your head and go, that's not supposed to go this way. Like, it's supposed to go the opposite way. You know, and what the hell's going on? And we will support the Eels forever. We always have. We always will. But I just want to tick that box, and then we can go back to hopefully winning more games than we lose and just enjoying the football. But it's starting to build up. It's starting to become a thing, which is annoying the hell out of us.
It's like a volcano. Like, your mantra was always, you'll support the club so long as they turn up. Whether they win or lose, they turn up.
Yep.
That was good for a point. But now, knowing that this 2022 squad can win the premiership.
It can win. And
we've got to put pen to paper at some point, right?
BA Bingo.
Mate, have you got the BA Bingo that we've started? What made an appearance?
Well, we've scared Brad Arthur straight, to be honest, mate, because he's got nothing.
Nothing on the BA Bingo this week.
He has missed everything like a game of Battleship. He rotated everybody. He didn't leave a man on the bench. We didn't lose to a lower ranked team.
Yeah.
He didn't have to mischaracterize our performance in the press conference because we did so well. He has cleared the board. So BA Bingo, you know, Barry said, you know, we have no pull over the club, but I beg to differ because this little checkboard here has scared Brad Arthur into being a good coach for a week.
Yep,
so we'll
you did
see
a great job. Well
how
done,
it holds up tomorrow. See how it holds up tomorrow night against the Broncos.
Yeah, well, last night if you're listening to this on Friday. So hopefully
that's it.
Hopefully there was no BA Bingo last night either. All right, brother, we better call it quits there, mate. We're about to run out of time on the old Zoom call. So we'll get ready for the big game. Hopefully we won. And we'll chat to you. Well, I'll chat to you on the weekend, no doubt. But we'll be back next week for another episode of the Parramatters podcast. And make sure you check out the Facebook site as well. It's up and running. And we'll have Big Bad Bazza back next week as well. So as we always say, mate, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels.
The Parramatters podcast. Find us on Facebook.